Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who I brought along tonight. Richard?
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good.
And I'm so glad you're here. And for those out there who are listening to us, I'm so glad that you're there, where we can touch one another and we can meet people from the other side. And if you're on our mailing list, you know that tonight we have Elvis Presley. And this little series that we're running right now, Richard and myself, we are bringing people from the other side that have taken a part in one of our ebooks, Chaos Before Creation. And Elvis happens to be, he's here now, I just love it. Elvis happens to be the one that we are, you might say, have the spotlight on tonight. And I chose Elvis for a number of reasons. First of all, in our book, Chaos Before Creation, the topic that he handles, and this might surprise you if you haven't read the book, is angels. He brings forth information about angels. But that wasn't the main reason that I wanted to talk about Elvis tonight. Maybe you're aware of this and maybe you're not. When Elvis first started out, he started out as a gospel singer. And he had this very committed sense of mission that was coming forth from a spiritual place. And it was difficult to break into, to become known to the public. And he did have an agent that you might say led him in a different direction from where he chose to come. And in that section that Elvis gave us, he talks about how he is preparing to come back to Earth again, the path he intends to take, and when he intends to come back. And I just thought all of this was such interesting information, how he started out, how he got sidetracked, what he's doing next. So, Richard, if you're ready, we're going to begin. And maybe what we need to do is, I'm looking to see if there's anybody online. Yeah, we've got Donna from New York. Richard, are you able to connect with Elvis right now? Because Donna has a question. I just want to make sure he's standing in line. I think he is.
I would say he's here. I haven't brought him forth before, so we shall see.
Okay. So, Donna, on line two. Can you hear me?
I can, but, you know, I think I got on the wrong line. I really don't have a question prepared. I'm sorry.
Well, think of one. You know who Elvis was. If you met Elvis on the street today, what would you ask him?
Oh, my goodness. How does it feel inside to be a celebrity?
Oh, energy. In other words, with somebody, let me just rephrase your question because I want to give this to him succinctly. When you're on the other side, what does it feel like? Is that your question?
Well, no. When he was actually here, if he can express, his popularity was so big.
Yes.
That it seems to me that something is so stripped within. And I wonder how he balanced that. Do you know what
In
I mean?
Other words, he was a very popular individual in entertaining. And in a sense, it was a great deal of responsibility. You mean, it was kind of a heavy thing at times. How did he balance that? Is that where you're coming
right,
from?
Right, absolutely. How did he maintain that self-integrity, that connection to himself, you know, and
Good
not
question.
To other people's eyes?
Good question. Let's see what he says. Elvis, at the height of your popularity, how did you keep balance with all of this?
And he is saying, I welcome this opportunity to come forth. It has been some time before or since I spoke to humanity, and I have been looking for the opportunity to come forth and to communicate where I am and what's happening to me. And so I welcome this opportunity, and so I wish to place that precursor before I answer your question. And it is a very interesting question that you ask, because in truth, I did not maintain a good balance. As Carolyn has shared, I originally came forth with a mission to be a gospel singer, to pursue a spiritual path. And my manager persuaded me onto a more commercial path. And there was a point, in fact, there were several points where I wished to reconnect with what I had come forth to do, but he was very persuasive and was benefiting greatly from my commercial success. So in truth, I did not sustain good internal balance. I was feeling very disconnected inside, and indeed that is why my life ended the way that it did, because even though I had this great success, I was very empty and felt very dissatisfied. This may sound difficult for those watching the one who could perform in that manner, but it was a very successful persona that I created. It had nothing to do with who and what I was. And so it was, in fact, a very lonely path, a very disconnected path, and it was part of the lesson for me in my lifetime. Even though I had all this great success, it truly was not generating satisfaction. And so the answer is I did not keep that balance.
Thank you, Elvis. And Donna, thank you for your question. I think it gives us a good insight into this very successful gentleman. So I would like to connect with Linda from New York on line one. Are you with us, Linda?
How are you doing, Carolyn?
We're doing great, dear. What do you want to ask Elvis?
I would like to know, is he, in his mission, in his life that he's going to be coming into?
Yes.
Is he going to be as flamboyant? I mean, not flamboyant is the wrong word. Is he going to be as prominent in the public view?
Good question, because he does discuss this. Elvis, Linda wants to know if the lifetime that you are planning to come back to Earth to pursue, are you going to be as well known as the Elvis Presley from the past? What do you say, Elvis?
It's a difficult question, because much of that depends upon how humanity responds to what I shall bring forth. And what I would say to you is that even though I intend to be born before what you know as the Ascension event in 2013, my age will be, I will be quite young at the time that occurs. And so my coming forth, if you will, my beginning to express my musical ability will be on what you call the New Earth. And so the orientation of much of humanity will be different, and I sense there will be more opening, if you will, for the kind of music that I intend to bring forth. And it's difficult to say whether humanity will engage with it in the same way or not. It is hard to say.
Thank you, Elvis. Linda asked an interesting question, and let me pursue this a little more with Elvis. Elvis, what kind of music, since you're talking about, well, we don't know if the public will engage with it, what kind of music are you planning to bring forth?
What I'm planning to bring forth is music, you could say music of the soul, music that will resonate very deeply with the spiritual aspects of the human being. And so it will be, as you can see, a very different orientation than what I pursued in my life as Elvis. However, I anticipate that it will be music that will engage people very deeply.
Thank you for that explanation. Now, I'm assuming from what you're saying, Elvis, that you will be perhaps bringing in music about love, which is an eternal source of energy of the soul. Besides love, what other topics or how do you see the spiritual aspect of the soul? What kind of music might that be? If you give us another example.
Love is an aspect. However, what I'm referring to more is the nature of the melody of the music, the way the music is structured. It will be of a structure which resonates with the soul. You could say it has connections to the music of creation. And as such, it will resonate deeply with the soul. In some ways, it is hard to express. People who hear that music will feel it very deeply. It is structured to resonate with the soul is the best way I can express it. And so it will have tonal qualities and melodic qualities which the soul will respond to very powerfully. And I anticipate this kind of music will be of great interest to humanity beyond ascension.
Well, what a beautiful thought. Thank you for that. And thank you for your question, Linda. We're going to go to Douglas from California on line 3, please.
Yeah, hi.
Douglas. Hi, Douglas.
Yes, hi. How are you? Hi, how are you?
We're great. And your question to Elvis.
Yes, so I wanted to ask him, you know, even though in the previous lifetime he started out in gospel and then he ended up more of a pop singer and very famous pop singer, he still recorded a lot of gospel music a little bit later into his career. And I feel like he always had that sort of spiritual quality coming through all of his music, even the more pop stuff. And could he speak to that a little bit? Maybe that, you know, he found a way to imbue that music.
Well, we'll ask him for an answer. And I was thinking about one of his songs, Love Me Tender, Love Me True.
Yeah,
was a pop song, but yet it still had that essence about it, some spirituality. So, Elvis, how would you answer Douglas's question? It seems to him that you did keep in touch somewhat to your spiritual roots. How would you answer that?
I am deeply touched that you felt that to be so, coming through my music, because I did seek to preserve that as much as I was able, consistent with the path that you could say had been fashioned for me. And so, yes, I sought to keep as many of those threads present in my music, though I felt I was not that successful in doing it. So I am pleased that you feel that I achieved some degree of success in doing that.
I felt you achieved a lot of degree of success.
I do too, Douglas. I sort of feel that way also. So many of Elvis's ballads had this sense of longing and beautiful and beauty. So thank you, Douglas. Great question.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And the next caller is Richard from Tennessee. Is on line 2. Hi, Richard. Richard from Tennessee, line 2. Can you hear me?
Nope.
I can't hear you, Richard. Okay, I think Richard hung up. So let's pick up with Rebecca from California on line one. Hi, Rebecca. What do you have for us, dear?
First of all, did he say it was going to be in 2013 or 2012? I wanted to make sure I heard that right about the Ascension stuff.
Well, I thought he said 2013. Richard, what did Elvis say?
He said 2013, and so we're speaking to Rebecca, is it?
Yes.
Rebecca, the process is that the preparation for Ascension begins with those energies of the solstice of December 2012, or actually more accurately you could say it begins with your personal preparation. But in terms of the activities coming forth on Earth, they begin with the energies of the solstice of 2012, then followed by the reactivation of the DNA from two strands to over 2,000 right at the end of 2012 on the 28th of December. And then the actual ascension event will occur at the March equinox of 2013. So that's why he will have said 2013.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be clear on that. So just, I guess my real question is, what is his take on how ascension's going to look? Because some people say, well... Maybe that information hasn't come forth yet.
I love your question. So, Elvis, what's your take on what Ascension's going to look like?
There are many more qualified than I to comment upon this that have already come forth via Carolyn and Richard to explain this, and you will find much information about this on the 2012 Countdown website that they have assembled and also on some of the YouTube material that they have put together. And, however, I am willing to give my perspective. And how I see it is that it is the reawakening of humanity to who and what they are or we are, because you could say humanity has been essentially asleep since the fall in Atlantis some 12,500 years ago. At that time, humanity was significantly changed, both in physical form and in terms of spiritual abilities. And so it has been a walk in the wilderness from then until now. And so what is happening is a reawakening, a return to the greatness, the full expression of what it means to be a human being. It has been sorely lost. It has been, as I view it, a very difficult time for those souls who have walked this path through this period of time. And so those who are here now will participate in this beautiful reawakening which is about to unfold. It is an exquisite, extraordinary moment in which to be upon the planet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, Rebecca, and thank you, Elvis. I loved your answer. We have Hetty from Arizona on line two. Hi, Hetty.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hetty.
Hi. I have a question for Elvis. When he was alive, I was a huge fan of his. But, you know, one could see that he was not at ease with himself. You know, you could see the stages that he was going through. And my question to him is, he got sidetracked from his mission. What did he learn from that lifetime?
Teddy, that's an excellent question. So, Elvis, what did you learn from that lifetime that you want to pass over to Hetty and the others who are listening?
The lesson that I learned was that you need to trust the truth of what you feel and not allow others to determine the path that you walk. That was the error that I made. And as I watch humanity, I realize there are many of humanity who are allowing others to define how they live. Indeed, it is the intention of those of the dark to very much define how humanity lives. And I would say to all of you, take the opportunity to claim your sovereignty, to claim the truth of who and what you are, to feel who you are and what is important in your life, and live that truth. Live that truth. There is nothing more important than living the truth of who and what you are. And I sacrificed that. I didn't know how to trade off what I saw as being the competing influences in my life, and I now realize that that was the error that I made. And I would add that there were karmic issues behind what unfolded for me. That individual that was my manager had shared past lives with me, and we had got the balance of things wrong previously also, and we came forth in that life to resolve these issues, but we did not resolve them.
Hetty, thank you for your most informative question. I'm glad you raised it. And I also want to thank Elvis, because I agree with you, Elvis. It is perhaps one of the most important things that we can do as a human being here on Earth. And I would like to mention that Elvis's document is in our book, Chaos Before Creation. And Richard, just a moment, tell people where they might find that if they're interested.
Oh, I think the website's called healingmysteries.com. Would I be right, Carolyn? I think that's
right. There you go. When the man's right, excuse me, he's right. Thank you, Hetty. So Clyde from Arizona is on line 3. Are
Hello.
You there, Clyde? Hi.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Carolyn and Richard.
Hi.
They're a great program. You know what? I had an original question, but that lady Hetty from Arizona, she made me think of another one. Does Elvis plan on resolving the karmic issues with his manager that he failed to be able to do so in the last life, in this next life coming up?
Clyde, that's a very interesting question. And so, Elvis, are you going to have to dance around the maypole again with your manager in this life coming up? What do you think?
It's a very valuable question, because it opens the door on one aspect of what is happening with this ascension process. All who will pass through that gateway, you might call it, will have cleared all of their past life karmic energies. And so part of what will happen is that all of those energies will be swept away, including those that relate to the interactions with others. So, no, I will not be walking that path again with that individual. That does not mean that we will not connect in that lifetime if we choose. That is yet to be determined. However, there will not be the issue of resolving this karma, because it will be cleared for me before I pass through that ascension gateway. It is one of the reasons I am being born before the ascension event.
Excellent question, Clyde. Thank you. And Elvis, yes. I'm really glad you were able to bring that forth, because it really is an important point about ascension. And so the next caller is Pamela from California, is on line 1. If we might bring her forth, please.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hi. I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, my question is about the music of today, or at least what passes for music. I think it's very hard to take, in a way. I don't think it could be very good for our chakra system. And it's really just, I guess, the end of everything sort of falling apart. But I sort of wondered what Elvis thought about the whole progression of what would be called music from the time that he passed.
That's an excellent question, Pamela, and I'm kind of in the corner with you and feel the same way. So, Elvis, if you can kind of give us a little viewpoint from your perspective, what happened to music from the time when you stopped performing until now. Do you have an opinion?
Yes, I most definitely do. And my view is that always in any time there is always some music coming forth that contains great melody and great emotional connection. However, what has happened, and it was well underway in the time that I was present, is that those of the dark have very powerfully overtaken the major elements of the music industry and are encouraging music which is designed to keep humanity in their left brain. Very discordant, loud, angular music is designed to keep the individual who is listening to that music in their left brain. The dark have no desire to see humanity rediscover the skills and abilities which are held in the right brain. And so much of that music, just as so much of film and television and news and many other things, are designed to keep humanity in the left brain. And so in particular, there has been a targeting of young people with the kind of music which will keep them in that place and keep them isolated from their spiritual selves.
Oh, Elvis, that is such an insightful point that you've brought up. And so, Pamela, thank you for your question. I really appreciate it.
Excellent answer. That's really very, very helpful to hear.
Yes, and I would like, you're welcome, dear. I would like to mention that when Richard and I work with the soul healing conference calls that we do with people, it is something that we bring forth, is teaching people how to use the right side of the brain as opposed to what's going on in the left side of the brain. And Richard, do you have some point that you might want to add to that? Because I think this is the most important question that Pamela brought up and that Elvis commented on.
Yes, I would reinforce all that Elvis said, and I would add that there are so many threads of our world as we live in it that are designed to focus us in the left brain. You look at the nature of how the schooling system has been designed; it's very focused in that way. Additionally, we're taught that if we kind of plan our lives and work in an office somewhere or whatever, that, you know, all will be well. And all of that whole orientation of life is designed to keep us in that left brain behavior. And really we are entering the time when we are reawakening the right brain skills. I would add that before the fall in Atlantis, the two hemispheres of the brain were closely connected so that they worked very well. The spiritual knowledge and wisdom and understanding that came forth from the right side would flow to the left, and they were separated in part because the dark were using that spiritual knowledge for their nefarious purposes. And as we approach ascension, these two hemispheres are beginning to be reconnected. If you read some of the material on the 2012 timeline page on the 2012countdown.com, you'll see there references on some of those key dates. I think there, in particular, there's one from Mother Mary talking about how the energies were strengthening the corpus callosum, which is that aspect which connects together the left and the right hemisphere. So as we move through towards ascension, these two hemispheres are beginning to come back together again, and it is so important that we recognize what is being done to keep us in the left brain, when really what we need to do is reawaken those skills and abilities in the right side of the brain. So critical.
I'd also like to add to that, for people who are not aware, Richard, that the corpus callosum is also known as the third eye. So when we work with the third eye, if we are you might say, skilled and understand how to do this. You're really working with the right side of the brain. So we have Daryl from Canada is online, too. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
Okay, I'd like to know what dimensional level is Elvis able to access?
Good question. Elvis, what level are you able to access where you are?
I am in that dimension that humanity will ascend to when the ascension process occurs, and that is what is known as the fifth dimension or the angelic dimension, except currently in this dimension I do not have a physical body. And when humanity ascends and Earth ascends to this dimension, you will come with a physical body. And so you could say I'm at a similar level to where we all will return with that ascension event in early 2013.
Well, what do you think of that, Daryl? Kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'd like to, before we go on, just ask Elvis to comment on that. The third dimension where we are now, Elvis, the particles are much more compacted. And in the angelic dimension where you are residing now, the particles are further apart, and that has some different properties. Can you give us a little insight, if you would, to the difference, as you see it, between the third dimension and the fifth dimension?
In this dimension, the particles are more widely spaced and indeed larger than they are in your dimension. And as they are more widely spaced and vibrate at a higher rate, there is more room for light between the particles. And so this will make a significant difference to how you are able to utilize matter, the nature of matter, when you come to this dimension. It is a different experience, quite a different experience being in this dimension because of that different spacing in particles. There is much more light. The light tends to be golden rather than white as you experience it in your dimension, again because of the spacing, the impact that that has upon the nature of the energies that come forth in this dimension.
Now, that's a beautiful insight, Elvis. I appreciate that. And because of the difference in spacing and more light being able to be utilized in the fifth dimension or the angelic dimension, can you give us some thoughts as to what kind of abilities would be brought forth then?
Yes, it is not something that I have studied in detail. However, it is my understanding that, firstly, humanity will recover their memories, which means that you will be able to remember every expression that your monad, which is that soul as it is created by the creator of all, you will be able to remember from the moment of the creation of your soul, the creation of that monad, and every lifetime that you have lived on Earth and indeed in any other planetary sphere. And most of you have lived in many other planetary spheres besides Earth. Most of you have traveled widely in the cosmos before you ever came to Earth. And so you will reclaim your memories of all of these experiences. And this seems very strange to you at this moment, but indeed most beings within the cosmos have not had their memories severed. They are all able to recall all of those aspects. They are able to communicate very freely with their monad, which resides in the center of the cosmos with all there is, and indeed able to communicate with all of the other aspects of their monad. So the experience is quite different. Indeed, I am able to do that now. I am aware of all of my past lives, you could say, as I reside in this dimension. And so that will become available to you. As you will be coming to this dimension with a physical body, you will be able to undertake some exquisite things. You'll be able to do some fascinating things with the physical body. You will be able to readily create from the formless anything that you choose. And all of you will learn quite quickly how to do this. So the notion of having to work to bring forth the fundamentals of life so that you can simply survive, all of that will simply dissolve quite quickly, because you can simply manifest those things as you choose. You can simply manifest your housing. You can manifest your food. You can bring forth anything that you need of that nature, provided it is not at the expense of any other being. And so the nature of life as you experience it will change dramatically, quite quickly after you have passed through that ascension event. It will be an environment of great joy and great peace. The challenges, the difficulties, those who wish to exploit others, all of this will be washed away, because those beings will not pass through that gateway to ascension. That is part of what this process is about, to separate all of those beings who wish to exploit others, to take advantage of others, to dominate others. All of that will be washed away from humanity by this process. And so what awaits those of you who cross through this is a time of great joy, of great peace, of great wonder. It will be an extraordinary experience for those who choose this path.
Oh, you're getting us all excited. Can't wait. Thank you, Elvis. We have Punky from Tennessee on line two. Are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, Punky.
Can you hear me?
Hi. We can hear you, dear. Hi.
Okay, good evening to both of you. My question is for Elvis. I wanted to ask if his ex-son-in-law, Michael Jackson, is with him, and if they knew each other in a previous life.
Good question. Elvis, did you hear that?
I heard the question, and I know Michael well. We have connected since he crossed over, and indeed we did know each other in past lives. We have shared many common threads, the interest in music that we both shared on Earth in our recent past lives is a thread that has joined us in previous lives. So we indeed have known each other before this time.
Thank you for your answer, Elvis. We're being asked by the studio if we have spoken to Jessica, and I thought that we had. Is Jessica from Pittsburgh on line three? I think not. I think we did.
No, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, sorry. Okay, my question is, Elvis mentioned the right brain, the left brain, and does he have any advice for the immediate on how to navigate? I've been able to recognize that the right brain is what makes me feel better. What about dealing with survival and money? I know in a few years we'll be okay with that, but what about how do we navigate, you know, survival and also embracing the right side of our brain?
Well, it's an interesting question, Jessica, and Richard and I work with this, teaching people how to do it. So it's kind of a little bit difficult to answer a question on the radio with regards to how you do this. But there's another part of the question that has a thread that I think Elvis can comment on. And how did you express this? Something about how do we deal with survival?
Because you mentioned how important it is for us to come, you know, in this lifetime to really express ourselves and be ourselves. And he mentioned how we kind of get tricked into if we just, you know, sit at a desk. So everything will be okay. So how do we know that everything's going to be okay if we don't just sit at the desk and if we do follow, like, our creative sides?
Well, I can fill in a little bit of this, and I'm sure Elvis has something that he could comment on also. There's two aspects of this that you're speaking about. It's connecting to the body from the right side of the brain so that when you ask the body a question, the body literally gives you the answer through intuition. And the body knows everything that it needs. It knows the environment that it's in, the people who you connect with, and your mission because it brought down a template. And so we're able to get these answers from the right side of the brain. And as I said, it's difficult explaining this on the radio because we take like maybe 40 minutes on a telephone call, on a conference call, working with people to, you know, to how to do this. Then the next aspect of it would be is to connect to the high self, which is the doorway to your monad, which has all the information from the past. And you do that through the right side of the brain also. And when you learn this, you're able to answer all the questions that you really, you know, that arise. But Elvis, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder. Do you have something to add to that? Do you have something you can add to that?
Well, this is Richard, not Elvis, and I would like to add something to it because the what you've raised, Jessica, I think is the nub of what challenges all of us in this life, and that is the fear of survival, which is very left brain driven, if you will, pulls us away from trusting our intuitive selves. And the truth of the matter is, if we come to understand and trust our intuition, it will give us this roadmap through life that will take care of us and bring forth all that we need. It will help us to be in the places we need to be to have the things unfold in our lives that we need. Now, I'm not sitting here suggesting you should suddenly give up your job tomorrow and you know, go embrace your desire to start life as an artist, you know. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm simply saying that as you begin to learn to trust your intuitive self, it will guide you through life. And the reason I say this is that, I started life as a pretty left brain guy. I have a PhD in engineering and was running an IT business, a successful IT business with a couple of other guys in Australia before I really began my spiritual path. And subsequent to that time, I spent perhaps the best part of 12 years where really nothing worked in my life unless I followed my intuition. If I tried to plan anything or do anything for my left brain, it just didn't work. And I realize now that on some level I chose that path. And so I say to you, there is this beautiful map that unfolds within us if we allow it, that comes forth from the right side of the brain. And what Carolyn is speaking about in terms of understanding and working with your physical body and your higher self are all aspects that connect in with that ability. They feed into that ability, that intuitive guidance, which is there within all of us. Some would say, you know, trust your gut feeling. It's so powerful and so important. And, you know, life has been fashioned to contain so much fear, and this whole notion of survival is so upfront for so many that it makes it extremely difficult to follow your intuition. And this is all intentional, Jessica. It is all intentional by those who want to control us all. Make no mistake. So I'll get off my soapbox now and see if...
Thank you, Richard. Let's see if Elvis wants to weigh in on that topic.
Let us see what he has to say. He says, I have some comments, and they are that the challenge that Richard speaks of is exactly the way I see it as I view it from my perspective. It is important that humanity begin to reawaken to that right-brained aspect, that spiritual aspect, that creative aspect, the wisdom that flows forth from the right side of the brain that will guide you through life. It is the wonder, the magic of who and what we are. It was indeed recognized by, though you might find this hard to imagine, by some of the great scientists of your last century that built the basis for your so-called modern science. Many of them were extremely right-brained people. And this has been buried by those who would have it be seen to be otherwise. And so it is a balance that you need to acknowledge and begin to work towards, to take whatever steps you can to begin to reawaken those right-brained abilities, to work with the kind of tools that Carolyn and Richard teach you, because in doing this you will begin to reawaken the truth of who and what you are, and life will begin to work for you in a way that will seem almost magical.
Thank you, Elvis. That's beautiful. And thank you also for your lovely question. And the next one in line is Anton from, I guess that's Minneapolis on line one, or Minnesota, I'm not sure. Anton.
Yeah, hi, Caroline and Richard.
It's hi.
Hi, it's Minneapolis in Minnesota. My question to Elvis is if we move directly into the fifth dimension, what happened to the fourth dimension? What would the fourth dimension be?
Actually, the fourth dimension would be the high astral plane. And, Richard, do you care to comment a little bit more on that?
Not really. The high astral plane is the level where most of humanity, when they pass over, would tend to go. And it is difficult to correlate simply what we might look at as so-called third, fourth, fifth dimensions, as they are termed by us, and necessarily correlate that exactly with the, you could say, the dimensional level on which other beings exist. And so the term that more accurately describes where humanity is moving to is the angelic dimension. The term fifth is not really, in a sense, meaningful, in a true sense. And so there are many other dimensions, if you will, in between what we call the third and what we might term the fifth. It's not just a matter of saying, well, there's the third, there's the fourth, there's the fifth. It's not as simple as that.
And, of course, I might add there is also the spacing in the particles, and ascension allows us to go to a higher plane for all the reasons that Elvis talked about earlier. And hopefully that helps with your question, Anton.
I just add one thing to it, Carolyn, and that is that when we ascend, we will be ascending to the highest vibration where any beings carry a physical body. There have been no beings at the level of the angelic dimension carrying a physical body before humanity ascends there. So you can say, in a sense, it's a gift to humanity for having, for the souls that have chosen to walk this very difficult path.
Thank you for adding that, Richard. That's a good point. Thank you, Anton, for your question. And the next one online is, it looks like Dare from Canada, online too. Or maybe it's Dave.
Daryl.
Daryl. Daryl.
Okay. I went to India about 3 years ago, okay, to receive stem cells. Before
you
I went.
Wait a minute, dear. You went to India and what did to receive stem cells? Is that what you said?
Stem cell treatment, yeah. Before
okay.
I went, I talked to a friend of mine. Her name is Muriel Gaucher. She's a channeler. And while she was channeling, Out of the Blue Elvis came into the channel and says that he would watch over me when I went there. Why was this? What was the meaning behind this? Because I never found out.
I don't know. Let's see if Elvis really said that. Richard, was Elvis really coming in on that channel talking to Daryl?
It was to a woman named Muriel Gaucher.
I think he heard you. Elvis, what's your comment on that?
It was not me that came forth.
Okay.
There it is. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Now, the very last one that we can work with right now is Frank from New Jersey on line 3.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Hi. My question involves the dark. You mentioned how they're always trying to subdue humanity from reaching their true potential. I was wondering why, even though they have, a powerful aspect about them, why they can't understand the ascension event, and what is their ultimate goal, and why do they still think they can pull it off?
Richard, I would like for you to answer this, and then if we have time for Elvis to give some insight to it, because I think you're qualified to answer this one.
Yes, I guess you could say that the dark believe that they have the ability to control all of creation and have been working very hard to do that. And you may, if you've been following our material, you will have seen that reference to the fact that creation can be looked at top down and bottom up. And you might think that the beings who seemingly sit at the top are the most important, but in some ways those of us who carry souls in this most dense form of consciousness also play an important role, because you can look at consciousness or creation really as a little like a vase or a vase, depending on what language you speak. And so all of creation, in a sense, rests on the consciousness of humanity. And so if you control the consciousness of humanity, the consciousness of Earth, then you place yourself in a very powerful position to control all of creation. And so that has been a big part of their agenda. And that's a broader agenda, I guess, than specifically those of the dark or those on planet Earth who are executing the agenda of the dark. I'm looking at it at a broader perspective.
Richard, this is such a wonderful answer, and there's so much more to you to answer. But, Frank, we're out of time, and we really have to leave. It's been an exciting evening. I thank all of you for bringing forth your questions. I thank Elvis for being there to answer, and I thank you in particular, Richard, for negotiating this. And real quick, tell people how they can sign up for our notices and our mail and our messages, Richard.
Indeed. If you go to the 2012countdown.com website, you can register right there.
Thank you, dear. So until next week, we'll send out a message to you telling you what wonderful person will be on board. We'll talk to you then. This is Carolyn Evers and Dr. Richard Presser. Good night for now.
Good night, everyone.
Hello, this is Nico, and thank you for listening to my music on BBS Radio. I'd like to invite you to check out my website, nicoonline.com. That's N-I-K-O-online.com. If you sign up on my email list, I'll give you 20 free MP3s, the sun, the moon, the stars being one of them. If you enjoy inspirational music with a message of hope and love expressed in very creative ways, then I think you'll enjoy my songs. Again, my website is nicoonline.com, and thanks for listening to BBS Radio.